never deserve this.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
They don't get to write your ending. So grab that pen and send them back into the light where they burn to nothing. Whispers of a power that's well past gone. It's not your fault.
No, it's not your fault.
Chúng ta sẽ cùng đến với ca khúc You Never See Me Again.
Ebola.
Ủa?
I go to National Engineering College.
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 Fridays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. It's the Beppy Crespin Presents radio show.
It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format.
Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut up collage, and general Crespin weirdness.
Beppy Crespin Presents Fridays at 2 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9.
Streaming at player.citr.ca.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives. It is Friday, the 11th of January, 2019, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaksend, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, I've got bronchitis, but that's always fun. So I might be coughing a little bit as we go along, but that's fine. Because the third annual FEM series is starting at the Couch this weekend, and two of its most enthusiastic participants are here to talk about it. Plus, we'll have our usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And sitting across from me are an old friend who's her first time on the show and someone who's been on the show before that I'm actually meeting for the first time.
Hello.
Hello. So who are you?
My name is Kim Sunclub Harvey. And we met with Kamloopa. I called in from the school on my reserve, and we had a big chat. I was in the principal's office, basically, speaking with you. It's great to meet you in person.
Thank you, man. You too. And Pippa Mackey.
I'm Pippa Mackey. Hey.
Or in my phone, saved as Pippa Middleton.
No, it's not.
I have it. I don't know why.
Can you change that?
I will change it, but it makes me laugh.
That could cause some confusion.
I know.
Yeah, she, you know, my name was more unique. And then her in that beautiful dress with the buttons. And
her butt
has a Twitter account. At Pippa's butt, and I get tagged in it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah, great. Good.
Good to meet everyone.
So, I mean, you two are established theater artists.
Are we?
Yeah, I would say it's been over 10 years, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I finished my time here at UBC in 2008, so it's a decade.
Yeah, that's 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
Look you at go. That.
Yeah, what do they say? It takes 10 years to become a real New Yorker? Does it take 10 years to become a real theater artist?
I don't know, but we're still doing it, and I think that's
well,
amazing.
according to Dave Radio, you are. So that's,
thanks, Dave.
That's
thank
all
you.
That really matters.
We did it.
Yay.
Air
high five. Yeah, I act-ish.
Yeah.
And I joke that I'm kind of transitioning away from it, not really by choice, but, you know, as we talked about with Kamloopa, I was over dying and crying on stage and wanted to have some more agency and wanted to also have fun, which is a part of the reason why Pippa and I wanted to do a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about a show like this then.
Your
participation is called Pitch, Bitch, and Ditch.
Okay, so we can say the title on air.
Well, yeah.
Good. Yeah, because Facebook made us put the little star instead of the I in the bitch word.
Really?
So, yeah. I know, they're a bit behind the times there.
Yeah. Well, we technically put the star in there as well, but you can't hear it on the radio.
So. There, perfect.
It's like a glottal stop.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Kim and I came up with this idea to invite people, audience members, to pitch a show on a piece of paper anonymously at the beginning of the night. We put it in a big bucket and then we pull the ideas out one by one. So ideas for plays, and we talk about the idea and how it could work on the stage. We maybe try and elaborate on the idea, and then we decide whether we ditch it or whether we keep it and then talk about it a little bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to choose favorites. Really, how Kim puts it is probably my favorite way it's put is
the process is the art.
Yeah.
It's something we talked about with Kamloopa, is that for me, I find it really complicated that theater only begins with our audience engagement at a preview, but most often like opening night, and it's this very secret process. And to me, there's a lack of transparency around actually how we create. And I was talking to Tetsuro the other night, and I was just saying, you know, as a person who accepts government grants, and a person who's been a public servant before, I feel that there's a responsibility I have to the public to share about the processes that we're doing, because it's our art, it's our community, and I feel really passionately about sharing the process. And also, Pip and I say, you know, like, when we hang out, it's one of the most passionate and engaging and fun ways that we speak about artistic practice, about artistic creation with all of our friends. And so we also wanted to invite people to come and, like, have a drink with us and see what it's like when we all hang out and shoot the
stuff.
It's, I mean, it's funny. I mean, that, I think that's another goal for us as well, is that the evening is this kind of funny and fun exploration of these ideas.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the whole process itself can be really entertaining. I mean, I find a lot of times that by the time we get to opening night, I'm done.
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, well, the audience liked it. We'll see you next time.
I know. The second show, I think that's also why I stopped acting, because I was like, man, we got to do this again. Stephen Drover was like, I don't think you're an actor. I think you're a director. And I was like, okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Exactly. Like, sitting here and talking to your friends and the creative process, like, I'm a big fan of table work. Rehearsal is my favorite thing in the whole world. And also engaging with people. You know, with Kemupo, we had open rehearsals. We really invited anyone who was in the building at Western Canada Theater to come in and say hi and have a seat and let us know how it was going. And I really made sure that when we asked the team, I was like, is this working? Mm-hmm. Does anybody care?
Yeah.
Like, all throughout the way, because if nobody cares, if it's not clear, if nobody's engaged, like, really, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we get $1 million shows sometimes that are just very, I just don't know how they get to that stage. Mm-hmm. And so this is also our offer to the community to say that, you know, these are the people, you know, Pippa, you talk about, who are buying the tickets, who are keeping our jobs. And, and I think that they deserve the opportunity to be able to access, speak, engage, and co-create with us.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes at TalkBack, because I am one of those, a lot of actors, I think, have a struggle with doing the talk back because it's right after you've performed and the questions, like, a lot of them are the same. But I also think it's such a useful thing to do, because in a talk back, the audience waits after and they can ask the cast or the creators questions about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes they don't end up being questions, but comments on maybe how to make it better or, like, what they loved. And I think that this gives those audience members the opportunity to write down, I want to see a show, you know, it can be, you can write a word, you know, and then we'll take that word and we'll try and expand it on stage live. Or you can write, like, a full plot idea and we'll try and make sure that it's heard, talk about it. And we say the word bitch, but I really mean, like, kind of like intense discussion. And this is not us roasting ideas. It's a lot of Kim and I roasting ourselves and where our brains take the idea, because every idea is worthy of being heard.
Yeah.
And so, and then we also, we're so excited because we have four incredible, we said in the program there's special guests, and we can announce those now if you want to hear.
Yes, we do.
So first, one of the first special guests is Tetsuro Shigematsu, the amazing, formidable creator, writer, performer. He will be spending some time with us in the hot seat, helping us out, bitch about some of these shows.
Uh-huh.
And then we have Amelia Symington Fetty,
who's hilarious and does an incredible podcast and around trying to be good and a strong feminist in the community. And then the rarely seen and incredibly talented and hardworking Maiko Yamamoto.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be joining the stage, the theater replacement, one of the founders and artistic directors there. And finally,
we have Jiv Parasram, who's the new artistic director of Rumble Theater. He hails from Toronto, and he is going to be lots of fun. I mean, all four of them are individuals, Vancouver, I mean, in some way, like, the heavyweight champions of Vancouver theater.
The world.
So we're also excited to invite them into this process.
Yeah.
And to share that all of our dispositions and positionalities on this are different. As much as Pippa and I get along and we joke around, I think one of the reasons why we continue to hang out is that I don't feel like it's in a vacuum. That she'll push hard on something, or she'll ask something, or she'll take a look at my grant to be like, here's an offer here. That it actually, I crave a rigor sometimes in the theater community, that we I don't feel we talk transparently, deliberately, or honestly enough about the work. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily taste and aesthetic, but really about the storytelling of what it is that we're doing here. And I'm really excited for people to hear all of the PIPAs and the panels, the expert special guest ideas on what that actually is. Because I agree with PIPA on talkbacks. I say, and I'm just finishing the residency with the National Theatre School, and Gideon says I have to stop saying this, but I said if I could just get to a talkback and not have to do a play, I would do that. That's actually why I'm here, mm-hmm. is to gather and to commune and to relate and hear, but I've just found that writing a play and doing art is the most compelling modality to accomplish that.
Yeah.
So that's why the show also.
Yeah.
And even too in the fact of speaking to the fact that shows can take a long time to write. Like Kamloopa, from idea to execution was like 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so Pip and I wanted to find something where we could work together and like pull it together really fast and focus on joy and focus on having a good time and work together.
Yeah, and I'll open ourselves up to a bit of ridicule. I mean, there is the fear of, you know, because so much of it relies on the ideas that we're getting from the audience, and also it's our own opinions live, like unedited. And I think that's one thing that Kim and I both are, is pretty unedited in general. We're also not very precious about our work. We're very practical creators. Preciousness for me is really challenging when an idea or thought is just cradled a bit too much. It's kind of one of those things, like if you're going to do a show, I feel like it needs to be able to be beat up mm-hmm. and just survive that and just be stronger from it. So if it gets a bad review or whatever, it's not because of the play. It's because it's able to take that kind of criticism and keep moving forward.
And I feel like I'm curious as to also share space with, you know, there'll be members of the cult patrons and audience members and community. Also, we were at a show opening the other night, and a lot of, like, you know, the rest of Vancouver theater creators are going to be there too. For all of us actually to sit in space and talk about how we talk about theater, I'm really curious as to how other practitioners work. For me too, like, yeah, I am not precious. Like, there were so many times in Kamloopa where I was like, this is a turd, throw it away.
Yeah.
Get it out of here. This joke is not landing. Thank you so much for all of your efforts at trying to make this really horrible scene work, but it's just horrible and we have to leave it. Like,
yeah.
We have to, you know, but like, I was saying, you know, put it on the iceberg, torch it, and let it go.
Right.
You know, because
bye
forever, because you suck.
Say a prayer of thanks.
Yeah, do whatever you need to do, but I think we need to learn how to let things go. You know, I have some really amazing mentors, and one of them told me, you know, Canada can sometimes workshop a show to death.
Yeah.
Where we actually all don't care about it at the end of the day when it opens. Where we have worked it and worked it and worked it, and it's like bread, if you overknead it, just doesn't rise.
Yeah.
So the other thing too that I was talking to with one of my friends is that there's also this business idea around fail quickly.
Yeah.
Instead of workshopping something for so long and us investing all this money and all this time, let's throw the idea out there, let's figure it out, and if nobody likes it, let's get rid of it. Instead of investing all of our resources into something that really is just a turd.
Yeah.
And we've seen them.
I better write that one down.
No, we've seen them, because that's one of our first lines. Are you bored with theater? Are you tired with theater? Like,
yeah.
Do you not understand it? Have you never felt included in it? Was the ticket price too high? Did the subject matter bore you? Did you just not connect with it? And as somebody who has had so many jobs outside of the theater world as well, to be able to survive as a theater person.
Yeah.
I worked in restaurants for a long time, and a lot of my friends from the restaurant industry could give zero about theater, because what has it ever done for them?
Yeah.
And also
no one I work with comes to see my shows either.
And it's
so
like, because the ticket is
here?
Like,
exactly.
It's
what
a $50 ticket. And then if it disappoints you, you're like, well, that's $50 I'm not getting back. And if you go out on a limb and you see a show and you haven't seen one in a long time and it sucks to you, then your chances of going out to seeing another one, especially paying that much, is really difficult. So our ticket for this is $10.
Mm-hmm.
And also Kim and I have put out, like, on our Facebook, like, on if you show up at the Kulch box office and that's not accessible for you, just let us know and we'll get you in.
Yeah. Yep. So, and yeah, just let us know. I can't afford it right now. You'll come in, because that's the other thing too, where it's like the accessibility and the trust. I feel like the theater community, we've really the public doesn't trust us. They're not coming in a way. They're not understanding. You know, if we went out into the student union, there's like, what, 300 people I can see in my periphery right now.
Yeah.
How many people do you think have seen a theater piece in the past 5, 6, 10, 12 months?
Yeah.
None of them. You know, I was talking to Omari Newton, who's an incredible artist, theater, writer, actor, and he was just saying, sometimes, you know, Vancouver, we have to up the game here. What's acceptable here? What are we doing? How are we moving people? Colleen Murphy told me that, you know, if you go to a night of theater, it should, and I can't say it, like, F you. And if you feel like you got F'd by it, it was a good night. Whether or not it was perfect or, that's the other thing too, I think we expect a lot out of theater. But yeah. For me now, I've had to manage my expectations to say, did it like F with me? Mm-hmm. And if it did, then that was a really good night. But that doesn't happen often. And I work in theater.
Yeah.
And I'm like waiting for it to like just F with me.
Yeah.
You know, Hiro Kanawaga talked about the fact that like that's why you go to see theater, to mess with you. And hopefully on Monday, people feel brave and vulnerable and courage enough to want to talk about these things. Because that's the other thing too, is like half the time when I see theater, I'm like, I'm not represented. I don't feel seen. My diaspora is not anywhere around this. So you're basically telling me that my life, my existence is not worthy of being shown in any capacity, and or the people of color and the women are holding roses in their mouths in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And the center of the people who are either predominantly men or settlers have no relative, no position, no relation to me. And that happens so often. And I think there's a reason when you look at the expert panel that it's majority women, majority people of color,
yeah.
Because that's the equity that I really work towards and champion for what I want to see out of this community. And I want to talk about that. I'd be happy to have somebody, you know, bring up an idea that really dives deep. And Pip and I were talking about like ideas that would excite us.
Yeah. And even ideas that outwardly seem like troubling,
yeah,
to deal with. I mean, also, I think this is a kind of a perfect event for somebody who hasn't seen theater in a long time, or who has openly or to themselves said, I hate theater.
Mm-hmm. Never coming back to
theater
again. I think
this is a really, really good opportunity to just like see the kinds of people who are behind those scripts and behind the work, because ultimately, this form is, for me, the best possible way to unite a community. Mm-hmm. Because we're all in the same space. We're all breathing the same air. We're all, you know, part of a conversation. And I think so many plays don't feel like a conversation. They feel like, I don't know, just like this wall. I mean, we do talk about the fourth wall and that there isn't any exchange. But I think that's my favorite part about going to a show, is when like, there's an exchange.
And an activation. To me, that's what I've been really missing out of theater, is like, what are you asking me to do here? What is the activation? Or otherwise, I'm just going to forget all this when I leave. I feel like there's like a conjuring and an alchemy that is lacking in the way that we produce, that I don't know why we're not utilizing how powerful theater really is. That's how it is. Like I jokingly said, you know, and Gideon Arthur says, theater is so powerful. You can see it once and then the person will say, I'm never coming to theater again. No other art form has that power.
But I do.
You never see a bad piece of visual art and be like, I'm never looking at visual art again.
Yeah.
But theater, oh man, do we burn people.
It does. It. I mean, it's so personal. I think that's why you're all in this space together. But I do think that we are at a really important and exciting time for theater. I think people are going to live theater and live shows way more than they used to. I mean, stand-up comedy has had this huge kind of
comedy
resurgence. Mm-hmm. And people are buying tickets. I remember when that really wasn't a thing. Like,
no.
And people are going to improv shows. So I think, you know, we're in our phones a lot. We're at home.
Yeah, improv in itself, there's been like an explosion in Vancouver anyway. Of
my sister, you know, just came by and waved.
Oh, my God. That was your sister?
Yeah, that was my sister.
Oh,
hi, Carlene.
Yeah, people are going.
Like, it used to be just theater sports, and now there's like at least half a dozen companies that are working regularly throughout the city.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing too. I think people are really craving like the need to laugh and be joyous and have moments of happiness be at the center here.
Yeah.
I think that's why comedy is having the surgence. I think that's why Kamlupa was successful, because we really wanted to lean into that, because the world is pretty difficult. Life is already challenging, and I think they're looking to us as artists to find different perspectives on how we create and share space with one another. I talk to a lot of the indigenous young people that I mentor, and I say, you don't have to write about the pain.
Yeah.
You don't have to focus on all of the trauma. That is omnipresent as an indigenous person.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really helped me with Kamlupa, is that I didn't need to. Everyone will come into that. And so when Pip and I hang out, we're just laughing. We're hanging out. We're joking. We're making each other laugh, using each other as kind of like test audiences to be like, did I get a laugh out of that one? Was that one good enough for? And that's also, I think, something really important about this is that I think a part of the Femme series, which we're so happy to be a part of with the cultures, and we'd love to chat about some of the amazing work that's happening there, but prioritizing Femme and female voices and people who are embodying levels of matriarchy to have their voices centered. Because we said too, people are like, Why should I come to see you and Pippa? I said, because it doesn't happen often enough.
Yeah.
Centering two young female voices talking about art with deliberate positions and opinions, you know, that doesn't happen really ever. Like, I've never seen an event. And so when Pippa talks about the fact of this is a great event for people to come back to, for me, it's also an offer to get people back flexing the muscle of seeing shows for $10, going to places like the Rio. I go to the Rio all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We go to like bars that have live music all the time. Like, the other thing that came out of this is that we jokingly said, why are we working together? Because that's also, people are wondering how we met. Pippa's partner calls her the mayor of the drive.
Because I'm like, yeah, he calls me the mayor.
I love Tyson.
We're just walking around and
everyone saying hello.
Says hi to Pippa.
It takes her like an hour and a half to walk a couple blocks. And I've been known to be called the chief of the drive.
Yeah.
So I get the nod. I know a lot of people. There's a lot of indigenous people on the drive. So we thought it would be funny for the mayor and the chief to hang out for an evening and talk about our respective experiences, which are very different.
Very.
I could be very politically productive.
We hope so.
Well, look. Let's wrap up the talk about Pitch, Bitch, and Ditch.
Cool.
And then we'll move on to the Femme series in general.
Fantastic.
So it's Monday night.
Yep.
At the Historic Theater.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful Historic Theater. There's actually a really cool event happening before. If you want to come hang out, it's for women in the arts, and it happens
Mixer.
At Mixer, kind of from 6 to 8.
All genders welcome.
All genders welcome, but focusing on that. And so, and then we can all head into the Historic, and there's going to be a bar on stage, cash only. So that's
No, not. They can take cards.
Cards,
well,
cash, whatever.
Because we
you
also
want.
Were saying that, like, theater needs to just relax a little bit with itself. It needs to just take a minute and chill out and let people move around and let people have agency and feel comfortable. Like, that's the other thing I'm really excited about. Hopefully people feel safe and comfortable to hang out in a theater. Because we get to do that all the time. I love being in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if our audiences do.
They will now.
Yeah, so 8 o'clock at the Historic. You can buy tickets online or come to the box office, $10.
Monday, January 14th.
If you want to be part of the Mixer ahead of time, that starts at 5.
It
and
starts
that's
at
free.
6, actually.
Starts at 6, okay.
Yeah,
and
it's totally
free.
And it's totally free.
It's
and we can hang out there and start the communion. Start hanging out.
Yeah.
All right, I got to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about the whole thing.
Thanks.
Of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts on Main Street at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Biltmore Cabaret, Red Cat Records, Lucky Comics, The Wallflower Modern Diner, Neptune Records, The Rag Machine, The Regional Assembly of Text, and so many more. The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder. It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute. Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Join us for the very best in bluegrass,
old time,
classic country,
Cajun,
rockabilly,
and western swing
every Tuesday morning from 6 to 8 a.m.
We start at 6 with bluegrass, roots and branches,
then focus on mostly bluegrass at 6:30.
Join your hosts,
Arthur Berman and the lovely Andrea.
We'll start off your day right.
So we're here with Pippa Mackey and Kim Harvey, and we're talking about the Femme Series at the Coach.
Yeah.
Which is the third annual event.
Totally.
And is this your first time participating in it, or have you been
It is. I think so, yeah.
It is. Yeah. It's a great cure for the winter blues post-Christmas hangover to come and hang out and celebrate with a bunch of matriarchs.
Yeah.
All right.
It kicks off tonight. Uh-huh. We have the first event, the WROL, Without Rule of Law, by Michaela Jeffrey.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be happening at the Historic at 8 o'clock tonight, and it's totally free.
Free,
which is always good. Helps the pocket and a good way to start your weekend. And then tomorrow, Soft Cedar presents Only a Visitor, the album release with special guest Walgren. And that's $20 at 8 o'clock on Sunday.
So this is a music a music event.
Yeah.
So it's not all just theater.
No, it's multidisciplinary, which I really, really like. And the Coach, I think, is doing really well, is saying that it's not just a buy your ticket, proscenium, classical arts, see a show, that there's music, that there's stage readings, that there's events like a show like Pip and I are doing. Yeah. So there's a really good cachet of what you can pick from.
Mm-hmm. And I would say if you're listening and you are curious about going to the theater, but you're like, how do you choose?
Yeah.
I'd say the Coach is a really good place to start, only because they are bringing in my opinion, the most diverse and exciting theater.
Yeah.
And not only do they bring in shows from all over the world, which is important, it's important to see that, they also have a lot of local shows, so there's a really beautiful mix.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that'd be like my ultimate recommendation would be to start at the Coach, and then you can kind of branch out from there.
Yeah.
And call them. Their box office attendants are very
knowledgeable. They're the best. They are.
They will tell you what shows you want to see or should see, or they'll like give you a little like quiz before about what you're into, and then they'll give you just like a buffet of shows that you can see. Like, I'd also say too that the Coach is a very welcoming environment.
Yeah.
The gallery's open during the day, that there's not this high intimidation like frou-frou-y factor. Like, I work there and I was like, I feel like a dirtbag. Like, I'm not in this pretentious theater thing where it feels very clinical and sterile, and that's not the Coach at all.
No. Oh, and it's been like that since they started in like, you know, 40 years ago.
Totally.
It's always been kind of a neighborhood a culture space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned that there were, you know, acts from around the world, and one of the things that I want to make sure I check out is a Ukrainian band called the Daka Daughters.
I know. I'm pretty wild. Very excited for that show. Yeah. It starts on January 15th, the day after Pitch Bitcher Ditch, and it runs until the 19th. So it's short. It's a short run. So, yeah, there's seven actresses, and they all play a musical instrument.
Yeah.
My feeling about what it's going to feel like is, you know, in the show Cabaret, there's, like, the Kit Kat girls, and they're, like, super hardcore dancers in this cabaret. But, like, you don't see enough of them in that musical. I think this is, like, that vibe.
Yeah.
So those, like, hardcore, funny, and, like, racy women, and it's in this kind of cabaret black and white vibe style, and
they call it freak cabaret.
Freaky. It's got like a punk vibe, but also if you like music, and I think it's just going to be a totally wild thing. I always know that a show is going to be amazing when one of my friends who isn't in a theater messages me and goes like, hey, have you heard about this?
Oh my god, yeah, word of mouth. When you get those, that's
when
the,
you get those
are gonna be the best shows.
Yeah.
And then we've got the feminist karaoke on the 25th.
Yeah, follows Power Ballad. I'm actually really interested
in
that.
I don't
do karaoke.
Yeah.
I'm like one of the champions. Like, I'll cheer and cheer you on and like pump you up so you can do it. But like,
I love karaoke. I used to hate it, but I I love
we
it.
We should
now.
Do it. How have we not done that?
We tried, remember?
Oh, right.
And then we were all busy.
Dave, right. Yeah. Then like, but Dave, you should come. Anyone?
It's yeah. also free. So, yeah, yeah. Feminist Karaoke with Julia Croft on the January 25th at 9 p.m. Yeah. in the Historic Theater. I don't know. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. And like, I think it's interactive as well. Like, yeah. people will be singing along and stuff. So again, like another push to break down the barriers of what actually means to be in theater, be in relationship to it, and be activated, which I'm really into right now.
I do hope somebody does the "You Oughta Know" song, the Alanis Morissette.
Oh goodness!
I've seen that done in karaoke. It's
what's your karaoke
it's a
song?
Lot. I have a few actually.
Your,
really,
your top song if you had to do right.
If I do it right now, it's like the Serge Gainsbourg song, Je T'aime, because it's like spoken word. It's like, je t'aime, oh oui, je t'aime. And then there's lots of like orgasmic sounds, and it really, really messes with
you
people.
You sound like Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, any like a Patsy Cline or...
Dave,
yeah.
what's yours? Do you have a karaoke song?
Last time I did karaoke, it was Don't You Want Me by the Human League.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
Don't you want me.
That's a
That's
good one.
A really
I'm sure
good
people
one.
Sing along too.
Oh yeah, I had the whole room singing
so
along.
You just like drown yourself out. That's what I would do.
Look, I have a list in my phone, and it just says karaoke because I can never remember.
I should be braver.
This song. Oh yeah, look. Oh, the song "She Hates Me" by Puddle of Mud.
People are really into
me.
Teenage Dirtbag. Mel Haig from Toronto sings Teenage Dirtbag. That's a great karaoke song.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, you can get your own list together for this evening.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The karaoke, feminist karaoke, is run by Julia Croft, who has the show Power Ballad.
Yeah.
From January 22nd to 26th.
Right.
And Power Ballad is an angry feminist live art investigation of language. And it's sometimes hidden ideologies. So it's like part lecture, part karaoke party. I think it's going to be totally wild. Yeah. It's got a bit of an 80s vibe, like think Annie Lennox-y.
Uh-huh.
So that's from January 22nd to 26th. And then the last kind of like major play for the Femme series is Classic Chic's production of Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, and they always put on just a spectacular show.
Yes.
In fact, Classic Chic was one of the first groups that we featured on this show because they started around the same time we did.
Amazing.
And I think the first play they did was Winter's Tale.
Yes, that's right.
And then they did Glengarry Glen Ross and the Godfather.
Oh my God, the photos from Glengarry Glen Ross were amazing. Yeah. Those production
and
photos.
For those who don't know, it's an all-female theater company. But it's sort of like Shakespeare in reverse, where all the roles are played by women, even the male characters.
Yeah.
And you know, when they did Glengarry Glen Ross, it was all male characters played by women.
And they do drag as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of the male characters that are written as male from Shakespeare's time, the female performers. They'll do male drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People playing other characters, playing other things. I have this like tiny little idea that I've been floating around since way too long and I need to do, but I want to do a play version of the Muppets Christmas Carol. So it would be humans playing Muppets playing humans.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's something about that. That movie is good. That is one of the best adaptations of A Christmas Carol.
It's so
funny. And I'm saying that publicly.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first, people.
It is one of the best adaptations and songs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Muppets just... I could watch Beaker sing...
anything. Gonzo as Charles Dickens. That's... effing brilliant.
The Swedish Chef.
Yeah.
All of it. Those
Fozzie Wig as the bear. Yeah. Anyways, it's a really great adaptation. And it focuses on Marley in a way that other people don't.
Is that the one with Michael Caine?
Absolutely.
He's so serious.
Yeah.
And
he's a terrible
too.
Singer. And it's like his joyous moment at the end is embarrassing because he's like, it's anyways, beyond that, I really like it. But check out the Culture's web pages to get more information on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really, I think it's important to support industry kind of productions like this. The STEM theories is something really important to support and show Heather and the team and supporting. That's the thing, too, about coming to our show. People say, why should I come? And I said, well, someone once told me that money is your commitment to something. So showing up and putting your body in that space is supporting the fact that centering female voice is a priority for you and something that you want more. So, and as Pippa said, too, especially for the audience here at UBC, there's free events, there's $10 events. And I think, like, all tickets prices are around $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. All of a sudden, it got that quiet. It's like, wait.
We're all excited and thinking about which shows we're going to go.
Yeah. Well, this was fantastic.
Thanks. We
didn't quite fill the hour, but we're pretty close.
Oh, man. I mean, we could. What else do you want to talk about?
We're an open book.
Yeah. So, Pippa Mackey, Kim Harvey, thank you both so much for coming in. This was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
We'll see you on Monday night at the Culch.
Okay.
8 p.m., yeah. January 14th.
Don't miss it.
Woo.
All right, now I have to find something to play here.
Play one of your karaoke songs.
I know. Oh no.
The Muppets, if you got it.
Yeah, no, I don't have the Muppets. I don't have the Muppets, but I have this great song by Jeff Berner about one of the all-time great hockey players for the Vancouver Canucks.
Back in the time before my Keenan ruined watching the Canucks for me. When he traded away Trevor Linden after letting Messier have the captaincy. I used to like to watch Gino Ochi play the enforcer role. Didn't have as much talent as some, but he sure played with an awful lot of soul. Now you can go ahead and be a jerk and you can call him a goon. But he fought like a kid in the schoolyard. He was trying to make a bully sleep his little brother alone. There was a reason people always shouted his name. They recognized the emotions playing across his face. They recognized those feelings, knew they'd often felt the same. That says, I'm just fighting, stay in the game. 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 Us Canadians, we like to believe that we're so polite and nice. But we're more like the Romans than we know. Shadows and the TV clowns, they don't pay the butcher's bill. It falls to people like Gino to go out and bleed for the national spectacle. But he wouldn't let himself become another casualty. He took your worst impulses and he turned them around to lead a life of leadership and dignity. There was a reason the people always shouted his name. They recognized the emotions playing across his face. They recognized a feeling, knew they'd often felt the same. It's a determined look that says, I'm just fighting to stay in the game. I'm just fighting to stay in the game. Just fighting to stay in the game. I'm just fighting to stay in the game. Fighting to keep the love of our spouses. Fighting to keep the banks from taking our houses. Fighting to keep the respect of our children. Making a living, not making a killing. Oh,
but you know old Jig met with the Pope, it's true. Pope apologized for the church's role in Canada's residential school. I wonder, was he tempted to grab him by the jersey and pop him a few? But Gino forgave him, said it's time to work together to build the future anew. Now he owns and runs the golf course out on the Musqueam, leading young people with a strong example. That is what he's always done. And there was a reason the people always shouted his name. They recognized the emotions playing across his face. They recognized those feelings, knew they'd often felt the same. It's a determined look that says, I'm just fighting to stay in the game.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief here that auditions and outs should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to go out and read for everything. And here's something for everyone. It's the UBC Creative Writing Series Brave New Playwrights, now in its 33rd year. I participated in this once, and I would love to do it again. It's 20 short plays written by UBC Creative Writing students, and it's presented on stage at Studio 1398 on Granville Island in March from the 9th to the 17th. They're looking for 32 actors for full productions and 10 actors to be part of the staged reading series. There will be a small honorarium of $25, so you get a little bit of expenses reimbursed. But it's a great thing to participate in, and they're only able to cast non-union actors. So if you're looking for a chance just to get some scene work, get some exposure on stage, just a chance to work with some other actors and some new writers and stuff. Brave New Playwrights is a great way to deal with that. Did I just say and stuff? Oh, never mind. The auditions are coming up this weekend on Sunday and Monday at Brock Hall, right here on campus. And you can participate by sending in your bio and headshot and a 50-word thing, you know, a little story about yourself, along with your name and phone number to crwr.bravenew@ubc.ca, and make sure to put audition request on the subject line. Monday night is also the next edition of the Cold Reading Series, first one for 2019. There's two scripts lined up and maybe some other surprises. You just have to come and find out. It's at the VFS Cafe, which is at 390 West Hastings. Casting starts at 6:30. The show starts at 8 o'clock. And the entry is by donation, suggested donation of $5. And remember that a portion of the beverage sales will go towards the Keith Provost Award. So make sure you grab a drink when you arrive and help support the cause. Now, if you want to be a reader at the Cold Reading Series, just be prepared to give a quick elevator pitch of your character types that you'd be good for, along with your cold reading experience. You don't have to be an actual actor. They accept all creative types who want to join in on the production. They are looking for a wide variety of backgrounds, ethnicities, ages, genders, and non-genders. So, you know, even if you don't have training or experience as an actor, you just want to get up and read, go right ahead. And if you don't want to read, but you just want a fun night of entertainment, just show up, put your $5 down, grab yourself a beverage, and enjoy the evening, because it's always lots of fun. The scripts are very well written. They're very well performed, and there's always a little bit of music as well. So a good night is had by all. That's the Cold Reading Series, once again, Monday night at the VFS Cafe, 390 West Hastings. There's a workshop coming up in about a week. It's called the Viva Voce Speech Arts Studio Anatomy Salons, Anatomy, Movement, and Voice Workshop. It is exploring the body and voice in action and being. It's in three segments. Each one will explore an element of of the theory and practice of movement-based disciplines. If you want to find out more, you can contact Camilla Burgess. Her email is cburgess, C-B-U-R-G-E-S-S, at vivavocespeech.ca. United Players of Vancouver is doing Jerusalem by Jez Butterworth, directed by Kathleen Duborg. That show's happening in June, and the auditions are also today and tomorrow at the Jericho Arts Center. And they are looking for a dynamic ensemble of 16 actors for the Vancouver premiere of this contemporary masterpiece, a bold comedic vision of life in rural England. You can send your request for an audition date and time to JerusalemUP at protonmail.com. And do note that it is taking place in the Wiltshire region of the south of England. And so they do welcome people that are able to do that accent, but it's not necessary for the audition. Still at Jericho, the Jericho Friends of the Jericho Arts Center are looking for someone to serve as their treasurer. The treasurer maintains the bookkeeping for the society, recording financial transactions and creating financial reports. They do need someone who has some experience in keeping books for a small not-for-profit organization, and a background in the not-for-profit sector would be advantageous, but a working knowledge of QuickBooks accounting software is a necessity. If you're interested, you can send a letter of interest and resume to Brian Parkinson. And he's the president of Friends of Jericho Arts Center, and his email is parkinson@uleth.ca. Also, Jericho Arts Center is accepting applications for performance. If you've got a production that you would like to have mounted at Jericho Arts Center, they select throughout the year at the beginning of the year. So if you're interested in mounting a major production, which requires six or more performances, you can send your initial application through their application form, which is found at their website, jerichoartscenter.com. Deadline for that is March 24th. And then they will be submitted to a jury for final selection. If you're doing something that's only five performances or less, that can be made at any time, and the scheduling for that will be taken up after the majors have been programmed. Whatever time left is available, they'll slot you in. Vagabond Players is doing a play called Detroit by Lisa D'Amour, directed by Ken Finn. That's happening in April. The auditions are Sunday at the Bernie Legg Theatre in Queen's Park in New Westminster. If you want more information on that, you can go to their website, vagabondplayers.ca. Our dear friend Chris Adams is directing Rock of Ages at the Renegade Arts Center. The show itself will be happening at Metro Theater in June, and the auditions are happening next weekend, January 19th and 21st, at the Renegade Center at 3030 East Broadway. This is the show that presents the music of Journey, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, other great acts from the 80s and 90s. And it underscores the tale of big dreams in Hollywood. You can send your headshot and resume to renegadearts@outlook.com. And once again, the auditions are happening next weekend. Back to United Players. They're auditioning for Chimerica. That's going to be up in March, and the auditions are happening on January 19th. And this play is set in New York and Beijing. It dissects the epic complexities of the U.S.-China relationship and presents them on a human scale. If you want to find out more, you can go to unitedplayers.com. I think that's what it is. Anyway, just Google United Players of Vancouver and you'll find out more about that Chimerica. In North Vancouver, the North Van Community Players are doing John Cariani's Almost Maine. That show will be running in April. The auditions are January 20th and 22nd at the Silver Harbor Fitness Room in North Vancouver, looking for four males and four females of any age to play two or more roles. And, North Van Community Players handling that one. A couple of auditions for Metro Theater. One is Communicating Doors by Alan Akeborn. That's production is happening in May, and the auditions for that are January 23rd. And then Persuasion by Jane Austen, directed by Joan Bryans. That production is happening in March, and the auditions for that are January 26th at Metro Theater, which is on Southwest Marine Drive in sunny Marpole. And a couple more left here. We've got Surrey Little Theatre doing Sealed for Freshness by Doug Stone. The production is happening in April, and the auditions are at the end of January, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. Looking for five women, 25 to 45, and one man, 45-ish. It's a Fraser Valley Zone Festival entry for Theatre BC. So if you are cast, be prepared to also be part of the production, not only in April, but also for Theatre BC Festival, which is May 12th to 18th. And the North Van Community Players are doing the Dixie Swim Club by Jesse Jones, and that is directed by Dale Kelly. That's happening in May, and the auditions are today at Hendry Hall in North Vancouver. So, not today. It's next month, February. February 10th and 11th in Hendry Hall. So lots of time to check that one out. North Van Community Players production of the Dixie Swim Club. If you want details on these or any other audition notices, you can go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you would like to read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. Oh, made it. My goodness. Okay. I'm going to go home, suck on some lemons, gargle with a little salt water, take it very easy, get rid of this darn bronchitis. It's been awful. Anyway, thanks for sharing your lunch hour with us. It's through the radio, so it's not contagious. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. You can send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And please like us on Facebook. Also on Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show, or you want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. You can remember to share subscribe. That's it. Subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes. Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Beppe Cressman Presents at 2 o'clock, Nardwar the Human Serviette at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
The Leo Ramirez Show at CITR, Mondays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. El show de Leo Ramirez en CITR, lunes de 5 a 6 de la tarde.
Tune in every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Community Living Show. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends on CITR 101.9 FM and also online at www.citr.ca for the Community Living Show, right after the morning after show.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians! That's right! Russians! Ruskies! Communists! Communists! Oh, now you remember.
Hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for.